Let's go ahead and open up in our Bibles again tonight to Luke chapter 6. And let's pray. Lord, we're enjoying so much reading and studying through the Gospel of Luke. So we pay particular attention to these settings where Jesus was invited to meals, or as we look Sunday at Jesus feeding the 5,000, just how much of the gospel had to do with shared meals and obviously shared lives. And so we ask that you would teach us from your word tonight so that we could go out and be doers of your word and not hearers only. This is our confession. This is our believe, and we thank you for it, Father, now in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's pick up. You know, obviously, Sunday we were talking about not judging other people and the damage that that does and all the reasons, so we won't cover that again. But let's pick up on that thought and idea just a little bit, in a little bit different way. Jesus also taught us how to deal with offense. And I think there's a difference in judging, in also how to deal with, you know, when people treat us poorly, or just even worse than that. They're just like horrible, maybe even to us, and how to deal with that. And there's a particular direction you'll see where we're going with this in a few moments. Luke chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." So Jesus said, bless those that curse you and pray for those that abuse you. I just remember years ago, a lady came in and said, "Man, this woman is just so mean to me. She's just so horrible, says bad things to me, says horrible things about me to other people. You know, what can I do?" I said, "Well, the only thing I know to tell you to do is what Jesus said to do, is just do good where you can and just pray. Pray for that person." "So what should I pray?" I said, "Well, every time you think about them, just say, Lord, bless them." You don't have to get into a lot of details or blessing them how. You don't have to get into, but what if they don't deserve it, or any judgments on that at all. You could just say, Lord, bless so-and-so. Every time you think an evil thought about them because of how hurt you are, because of what they have done or said or what they've neglected to do towards you, you could just very simple, Lord, bless so-and-so. And I think that would fulfill what Jesus told us to do. You see, Christ's emphasis is that it's not our place to curse or condemn other people. It's our job to invite sinners to the table of the Lord. He repeatedly used the setting of meals to teach this, the ruling authorities, let's say, of the Jews, that their haughty judgment of others resulted in an undue estimate of themselves. Really, I think what I want to show you tonight is how you judge other people really becomes ultimately kind of how you end up viewing yourself and treat yourself. And so, even from self-preservation, I just believe this, everything that Jesus teaches us is ultimately for our benefit. It's for our good. Many of us grew up kind of with an idea that, you know, this is the Bible and these are the rules and God's God and you just line up and you just shape up and like it or not, you know, whether it's good for you or not, you know, this is what God wants you to do. But the longer I've been involved in this and studying Scripture, teaching Scripture for all these decades now, I came to a conclusion a long time ago that whatever the Lord asks us to do is ultimately the best thing for us to do. It leads to a better way. I think that's the whole thought and idea in Isaiah 55 where the prophets prophesying, the Lord saying, you know, my ways are not your ways. You know, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways. However, Isaiah 55 says, but as the snow falls down on the mountain, God wants to reveal His ways to us. His ways don't always come very naturally to us, do they? And I think that's the whole idea of studying the Word. I think that's the whole idea of certain, let's just say, spiritual disciplines. Having someone teach you the Word is so these things that are uncomfortable and unnatural to us become more second nature to us as we yield to the Spirit, as we don't conform to this world, but we have our minds renewed with the Word of God. So, how many of you have heard this teaching before? How many of you are walking at 100% accuracy in it? Yeah, me neither. So that's why we need to be reminded of it. So, and just be reminded, this is just such a better way to live than what our tendency would be. You know, if you do me wrong, I want to do you wrong. I mean, that's natural human response. But then, you know, it becomes the Hatfields and the McCoys and you just, there's no end to it. And everybody gets hurt ultimately in that. So Jesus really came teaching a better way. In fact, Jesus teaches that the degree of love that a person offers other people is what he or she will receive back. Look at Luke chapter 6. You're in Luke chapter 6. Hello. Go on to verse 37. It says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So, again, this idea Jesus is pronouncing that if you want to live under less condemnation in your life, less judgment in your life, less unforgiveness in your life, then you need to do those things of not judging other people, not condemning other people, and forgiving other people. And more or less, that's what you're going to get back in return. Now, Michelle and I talk about this sometimes. Said, well, if the law is sowing and reaping, well then why is this bad thing happening to us? Because we haven't been sowing those kinds of seeds towards other people. Why is this then happening towards us? Well, let me just say this. Not everything that happens in your life is a result of sowing and reaping. There are other factors involved. I mean, some people can just be mean just because they're mean. And they're just going to do something whether you deserved it or not. But I'm talking about the areas of life where we do have control over this variable, over what we do. Now, I don't have any responsibility, I don't have any ability to control what you do. But I want to keep sowing good seeds. I want to sow seeds that I want to be able to have a good harvest. I can't keep, all the weeds from blowing into my garden. Come on. I mean, how many of you got a few dandelions in the yard right now? Did you sow those? Did you plant those? No. Your yard doesn't deserve dandelions. There's just dandelions in the world and they just blow in. So everything's not the result of it. So, you know, when Jesus says, judge not, you shall not be judged, He's talking about the part that you do have control over. He's not saying if you never judge anybody else, no one's ever going to judge you. Are you following me? He's talking about a very specific thing here. So, again, let's think about these meals and what Jesus taught at these meals. The first meal that we examined, Jesus was invited to Levi's house. Levi the tax collector. And the Pharisees were outside judging and condemning Jesus for being in the wrong place and being with the wrong people. Come on. And so, was their judgment fair? Was their judgment right? No. As a matter of fact, their whole reading of the Scriptures, according to Jesus, the conclusion that they drew from the Scriptures was wrong. Does that just scare you a tiny bit at all? That you could think, I could have read Scripture my whole life and placed a judgment on that or placed an interpretation on that that might not be Jesus' interpretation of that Scripture. Because Jesus, the Pharisees, were trying to follow the law. They weren't wicked, evil people. In the sense, okay? And Jesus is going to throw down on them before I get done with tonight, okay? But they were trying to follow the law. They were trying to bring revival, if you will, to Israel because the nation had strayed away from God. And the Pharisees were raised up because they were tired of this loose interpretation of the Scripture. And so they were very strict in their interpretation of the Scripture. And their thought and idea was this, is that in order to please God, a person would need to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so to stay away from and not, you know, have dealings with sinful people because somehow their sinfulness would rub off over on you. So they led these very separate lives and these very strict lives. They fasted twice a week. They were, you know, very, very, let's say legalistic about their giving. You know, they would count, you know, the number of seeds in their seed bag, you know, to make sure that 10 of them went to God, you know, that sort of thing. They weren't trying to be evil people, but in their attempt to be righteous, they became self-righteous and they became judgmental. They became critical. They became very condemning. And Jesus basically said, you've missed the whole point altogether. And I didn't come for righteous, I came for sinners. And so, that's interesting. The next meal setting that we examined on Sunday was Jesus went into the home of a Pharisee. Okay? So he was invited to the home of a sinner on the one hand, and then he was invited to in the home of this very strict rules-keeping Pharisee. And then we have this account of the woman who's a sinner, probably a harlot, you know, washing Jesus' feet with her tears and wiping with her hair and anointing him with oil and kissing his feet and all of that. And I'm just telling you, Jesus is just blowing up their whole concept of how to follow God and what the kingdom of God is all about. And so Jesus was very willing to break social norms by eating with anyone. So I'm just saying, I do believe that God has standards. I believe that God has standards of holiness. I believe that He has a concept of right and wrong and sin. Jesus didn't disagree the fact that this woman was a sinner. In fact, He told a story about those that have been forgiven much, love much. Those that have been forgiven little, you know, love little. He didn't say, well, no, she's fine the way that she is. Leave her alone. He acknowledged the fact that this woman was a great sinner. What he disagreed with was what to do about that and how to deal with this woman. How to deal with this woman had to do with loving her and forgiving her and restoring her and bringing her back into right relationship with God. And I'm just telling you, we live in this day where I would caution us to not over-politicize things. I understand you want to vote, you want to vote righteously, and you want America to get back the way you want it to be and so forth. But in doing so, we can't just toss out the gospel. We can't just toss out how did Jesus deal with people? Who did He sit down and eat with? Anybody who asked Him. We find no encounter where Jesus said, no, I can't go to your house. What would that look like? No, I can't go to your house because of the particular sin that you're involved in. And so I'm telling you, following in the footsteps of Jesus, Jesus was willing to break social norms and even acceptable religious interpretation of the law. It's what the leaders of the nation, how they interpreted Scripture. And He repeatedly welcomed sinners to His table to demonstrate that the kingdom of God is inclusive, not exclusive. Okay? This is a tough message, and you really risk religious people getting very upset with you. I went to a meeting. The Assemblies of God was having their North Missouri District, council meeting in Kansas City. And there was a man from California teaching on small churches, and I wanted to go hear him. I could slip into one session. And this guy was going into how, making the church welcoming and why they sang the songs that they sang because, people are just relationally so fractured and you find a lot of these relational songs today, that are not real heavy doctrine songs, but it's about connecting people back to Jesus and connecting back to people with God. And I was tracking with him real well, and most of the group was saying amen to that and was in great agreement. The guy was a fabulous, very, very gifted speaker. It was a great point. But there was a couple of ladies sitting behind me that were talking out loud during the service, and I could hear them. She said, I don't believe that at all. I totally disagree with that. In other words, she wanted to exclude. She thought, really for people to come into the church, they need to come in and understand. I mean, because this guy was talking about, he's out in California, a couple of miles from the beach. He said, he's got the teenagers that sit on the front row of his church. And he said, man, sometimes they come in with shorts and flip-flops, and sometimes they don't even have shoes on at all. And they don't, they have their hat on backwards, and they've never been taught, like social etiquette about, you don't wear your hat inside, or you don't wear your hat in the sanctuary, and you probably ought to wear shoes to church, and, stuff like that. And I know this really religious church lady, this was bothering her. But I'm wondering, how would Jesus deal with these people? Would he stop them at the door and say, I don't think we can let you in here because you're not dressed appropriately. We can't let you in here because of your political view. We can't let you in here because of your particular brand of sinning. Now, there's certain sinning we tolerate in this church, but there's certain sinning we don't tolerate in this church. Come on, somebody. Do you have an idea that certain sins are just, even God can't forgive? Because that's the way the church acts like. So I'm just saying, as we go through this series, I want to be more like Jesus and less like a Pharisee. Because Jesus repeatedly puts them in their place and says, guys, you just have it wrong. And some of the Pharisees ended up following Jesus. They didn't all resist Jesus when He kind of showed them a better way. So I don't want to be like those church ladies I just don't agree with that. You know, is it really about the clothes? Is it really about some of those things? You know, the mission of our church really is connecting people with God. It would seem that then it would be our duty then to break down every barrier possible. Not throw up roadblocks. As a matter of fact, we're not supposed to be a stumbling block, are we? But maybe we should be building blocks instead. Jesus repeatedly welcomed sinners to His table to demonstrate the kingdom of God, that it's inclusive, not exclusive. Failing to examine the motives that led to the act that caused people to do what they do. You know, you ever heard a rumor in your life? I mean, I heard a little story today that clarified a lot for me concerning a certain young person that had grown up in our church. And it came straight from her sister, who I haven't really talked to in like well over a year. And hearing the story, I put some puzzle pieces together in my mind. I had been missing information, and while I was not being real judgmental or critical about the situation, I was a little disappointed in this young person that had grown up in our church. But when I heard more detail, it was like, oh, that's why this has happened. And then I was so encouraged to hear what she was going to be doing about that. I'm telling you, we make judgments all the time based on lack of appropriate information. We don't have enough details, so we really ought to zip it and not spread that. And again, this is not a person I talked badly about at all. I didn't. I haven't. You know, the young people that grow up in our church, man, they're like kids to Michelle and I. Michelle taught middle school Sunday school for how many years, do you suppose? Over 20 years, maybe even upwards of 25 years. I wouldn't want one of our youth group kids to fail any more than I would want one of my own children to fail. You know, it's been suggested to us from time to time to pastor a little differently than what we do, so you know you don't get your heart broke all the time. But I don't know how to do that. To me, this is our family. You're our brothers and sisters and our children, and you know, some of you are older, so I guess you're like aunts and uncles and so forth to Michelle and I don't know how to do it differently than that. I mean, Jesus taught us a very intimate way of living our lives with one another, because when Jesus called disciples, He said, hey, come be with me. Come follow me. He didn't say, well, hey, take notes. There's going to be a test later. He didn't say, no, if you want to be my disciple, get everything right. He said, if you want to be my disciple, come just hang out. Let's share our lives together. And that's very difficult just to turn that on and off. But I'm telling you, our judgments of other people have an effect on our own life and our own belief system. I think it stunts and mars true, healthy, spiritual life. Let's look at Luke 11 and verse 37. We'll start with verse 37. And as He spoke, a certain Pharisee asked Him to, what? To dine. Here we go. Another Jesus having a meal, somebody's house story. Fascinating, really. So He went in and sat down to eat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Again, what's the first thing they notice about Jesus? He broke a rule. This didn't have anything to do with he didn't wash his hands like for sanitary reasons. This had to do, he didn't go through the proper ceremonial washing. In other words, he's breaking the law of Moses. Who is this prophet that doesn't understand how to follow the Bible? Well, maybe the author of the Bible. Maybe they're getting it wrong, and maybe Jesus. I think Jesus did things to make a point so that they would raise the objection so that he could teach on it. Are you following me? Now, verse 39, then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also, but rather give alms of such things that you have? Then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. What are you saying, Jesus? Look, he's saying tithing is good. It's righteous. It's beneficial. I mean, right here, I get a lot of tithing questions over the years. You know, Jesus didn't really teach about tithing. Well, he does right here. He said, well, the Pharisees, you make sure you tithe down to the penny, down to the last seed, down to the last herb. But you don't really love people and you don't really care about other people. You pass by justice and the love of God. You ought to have done these things without leaving the other things undone. And in other words, you know, I'm sure they were very, very strict on worshiping the Lord on the Sabbath day and not taking the Lord's name in vain and you know, coveting their neighbors the best they could and all of the bearing false witness and all of those things. Jesus isn't telling us to live loosely. Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you do. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, but the weightier matter isn't strict following the rules. The greater matter is, are we really connecting and helping other people connect to God also? Are we building barriers between people and God? I mean, all the time, don't you hear from people all the time, if you actually know actual real sinners, you actually talk to them, there are people that just believe that there's just no way for them. There's no way for them. They don't fit. They're too bad of a sinner. They don't fit in their idea of what church is. And I think that's partially the church's fault because of what they hear from us and what we project out towards the world. Jesus said, you really ought to do these things, but you're leaving the most important things undone. Verse 43, woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen. The men who walk over them are not aware of them. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. Are you including us in this? I think Jesus is saying, yes. You're doing a lot of the religious things well, but your motivation is wrong. Your heart's not right. You're washing the outside of the cup, but inwardly, you're wicked. Verse 46, woe to you, also lawyers. And don't think of like a lawyer like you're thinking. This is a teacher of the law, okay? For you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you built their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. Now, I am reading a certain Christian book right now, and I want to do a little further investigation on this. What was stated in this book was alarming to me. That more Christians were killed by other Christians during the Reformation than the total amount of Christians that were killed under the persecution of the Romans. Now, we don't really kill one another, Christians today, physically. We're not as barbaric as that. But boy, we do throw a lot of rocks at each other, verbally, and condemn one another. Are you following me? It was more important, think about this, think about the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Alright? The woman that was caught in the act of adultery, thrown at Jesus' feet, and they said, the law of Moses says that she should be put to death. What do you say, Jesus? Well, I want you to think about that for just a minute. Number one, where's the man? I always want to know, where's the man? It's only the woman. Okay? Number two, how did they catch her in the act of adultery? I mean, did they set this whole thing up to try to trick Jesus? I mean, think about the wickedness of it. Think about the evil of this. They were so holier than thou in their interpretation of the law that they were willing to kill a woman to make their point with Jesus. And I'm just telling us that while we're probably not going to stone someone to death, we become very narrow in our interpretation of Scripture sometimes so that we turn out to be just as mean, just as judgmental, just as critical of other people that don't see it the way we see it. There would be people that wouldn't have fellowship because of certain points of doctrine. And I think Jesus is saying, look, woe to you Pharisees. Hey, you got one little thing right. Maybe your point of doctrine, you got it. Good. Good on you. But you've missed bigger issues in that you're so mean. You're so judgmental and you don't really care about people. I would rather risk getting some things wrong in trying to help people. I would risk standing before Jesus and saying, look, what you believed about this, that was just wrong. But you know, I really like the way you took care of people who were far away from God. And that you welcomed them to the table. Boy, you really just made a mess of what I was trying to say about this thing. But boy, good on you. You know, you really took care of older people, or you took care of orphans, or you took care of widows, or you took care of the poor. Are you following me? I mean, people were just felt very welcome in your church. I mean, you kind of made scrambled eggs of some of your doctrine. But boy, the weightier issues of loving people. I mean, think about it. These Pharisees said,
Jesus, what is the most important commandment? We need to know. We need to know that you know. That's what they were really saying. We need to know that you've got it right. Because don't you know they already had determined what the most important commandment was? Jesus doesn't blink. He doesn't think about it. He gives an immediate response. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You only asked for one, but I'm going to give you two. And the second is like it. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You want good doctrine? Love God with everything in you, in every way possible, available to you. But love other people in that same way. In that same non-judgmental, non-condemning way that you want other people to treat you. Jesus said, the way that you want to be treated, treat other people that same way. That's the weightier issue. Jesus dines at the table with this Pharisee and reminds the teachers and the lawyers that the condemnation of others will result in the destruction of their own lives. Jesus pronounces woes upon this group because of their tendency to look down on other people. Jesus repeatedly conveyed during these meal settings that if we negatively judge others, it leads to our own sorrow. Now, according to a study in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, doesn't that sound like a fun read? I quote, "The simple tendency to see people negatively indicates a greater likelihood of depression." Did you hear that? The simple tendency to see other people negatively indicates a greater likelihood of depression in yourself. Given that negative perceptions of others may underlie personality disorders, finding techniques for people to view others more positively could help them overcome depression. In other words, what you project out over onto other people, all this negative thoughts that you have about other people, is probably just revealing mostly what you're really thinking about yourself, is what this is saying. So a technique, if you could find some technique to more positively think about other people, it could lift you out of your depression. And isn't that what Jesus is teaching us? How to view other people better in a more positive light instead of a condemning, judgmental light. Isn't he, in fact, and this bunch of psychiatrists are confirming what Jesus is teaching? How you judge other people is how you're going to be judged. If you condemn other people, you're going to be condemned, even if it's self-condemnation. The study concludes, our perceptions of others reveal so much about our own personality. By asking study participants to each rate positive and negative characteristics of other people, the researchers were able to find out information about the participants' well-being, their mental health, and how others judged them. It's like exactly what Jesus said. They rated, you know, how a person judged other people. That had a direct correlation on how they themselves, how mentally healthy they in fact were, and how other people viewed them. This district superintendent, you know, the Assemblies of God, they had their meeting and they elect a new district superintendent every 4 years, I believe. Well, this district superintendent got every single vote. It was 100%. No one else got one vote. He got every single vote. Everybody loves this guy. I love this guy. I mean, he's like my new best friend. I love this guy.
But I watched him work the room. I just sat in the back of the pew. I'm not part of the group. I just wanted to go to the meeting. I got invited. I just sat and watched him just interact positively with every person that had come in and sat in the room early. And he finally worked his way all the way back to me. He gave me a big hug. But his positive attitude towards other people, in fact, then, is the positive attitude other people have towards him. And this guy's not a soft man, because I've seen him deal with things in a very stern way. Dealing with, you know, telling people no. And he's not just a yes man. He's not just tell you what you want to hear kind of a guy. But he does so in a very loving, caring about you manner. These researchers discovered particularly strong associations between positively judging others and how enthusiastic, happy, kind-hearted, and emotionally stable the rater is described by others. You want to have a better life? You want to be happier? You want to be more positive? Come on, you want to be more joyful? Then that's how you should be treating other people, because it's a direct correlation in how you see yourself and how other people will ultimately and mostly treat you. Now, have people treated this man poorly? Yes. I've heard him teach on forgiveness. I've heard him teach on forgiveness. I've heard some stories about horrible things that have happened to him. So it's not everything happens by the law of sowing and reaping. But if you plant good seeds, what should you expect? A good harvest. And if you plant bad seeds, what should you expect? It's just not everything happens as a result of sowing and reaping. Seeing others positively reveals our own personality traits. The study also found that how positively you see other people shows how satisfied you are with your own life. So if you have a lot of negativity coming out of you, chances are really, 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 really high. That's how you're viewing your whole life. And Jesus taught us how we treat other people. Come on. Has a direct correlation on our own well-being. The negative perceptions of others are linked to higher levels of narcissism and antisocial behavior. Isn't that fascinating? I think that's fascinating. So in this teaching, it seems like, you know, we're trying to get you to be more welcoming and more tolerant of people that may be undesirable in a lot of ways. But can I tell you, it's ultimately for your good in doing so? If you just want to love yourself better, love other people better. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the words of Jesus and this teaching. Lord, I don't want to be on the end of Jesus saying to me, woe to you. Woe to you. Woe to you. You're getting it so wrong. Woe to you. It's not going to work out well for you. Lord, I don't want those to be the words of Jesus to me. I don't want that to be the words that anybody hearing this teaching hears from Jesus. But we long to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. That's what we want to hear from Jesus. Lord, help us to be doers of your word, not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen.